Furthermore, they tended to be extremely rapacious. Whenever Turkish armies were settled on urban populations, there were always incidents. It didn't matter to most of the inhabitants of Syria and Iraq whether their livestock was taken by Fatimid armies or Turkmen armies in the name of the Abbasid Caliph. And the Turks very quickly acquired a reputation of being ferocious warriors and very hard masters. And that is a point that must be stressed continually, that the Turkish military elite was largely, I often put it, the Turks were the Muslim equivalent of the Normans in some ways, although the Normans were never quite as unpopular as the Turks were in the eyes of other Muslims. But the Turks were seen as this disruptive element. So by attacking the Byzantine Empire, not only did it secure an important military position, it also allowed Tugrul Bey and Alp Arslan to send into Asia Minor against the infidel, against the Christian, military regiments, tribal regiments that otherwise would have to be quartered in Islamic cities. The result was very quickly they discovered that there was very little Byzantine resistance. In 1064, they captured two key Armenian cities, Ani and Kars, that had only recently come under Byzantine control. And from those positions, they were able to raid across Asia Minor. This provoked the Byzantine reaction that led to the disastrous battle at Manzikert in 1071. And these raids through the 1060s and 1070s revealed to the Turks very quickly that the central plateau of Asia Minor, the 50% core of that peninsula, had a climate and terrain very similar to Central Asia. And as I've noted on a number of occasions, it's as if a fragment of Central Asia had been thrust into the middle of a Mediterranean peninsula. And in these regions, the Turks migrated in large numbers while the main armies were engaged in battling the Fatimid caliphs. Well, as a result, the 1070s and 1080s saw the success of Turkish arms. Alp Arslan died shortly after his brilliant victory over Romanus IV at Manzikert. He was succeeded by Malik Shah in 1072, who assumed the position of Sultan of the Grand Seljuk Empire, which now stretched from the shores of the Mediterranean almost to India and well into Central Asia. But with Malik Shah, we noticed an important point, and that is the political power of this Seljuk Empire begins to fragment. There were too many commitments, and there was also a tradition among the Seljuk Turks to parcel out power among one's descendants. And so Malik Shah, who resided in Baghdad and was primarily concerned with the eastern half of the empire, assigned authority to his brother, a fellow called Tutush, who took over the war against the Fatimids. And it is this commander who drove into Syria. It was his forces that in 1086 captured the city of Antioch, and it was probably his forces who began to disrupt the pilgrimage trade of Western Europeans into Syria in the 1080s, which was part of the background for the Crusades. Other Turkish groups who apparently operated independently of both Tutush and Malik Shah migrated into Asia Minor and carved out their own states in Central Asia Minor. And these were eventually accepted as Seljuk, powers. Although really, Malik Shah had very little authority over these fellows in Asia Minor. The most important was a Turkmen Ghazi, a Ghazi warrior by the name of Suleiman, who seized several important cities in Asia Minor. Foremost, the city of Iconium, which is renamed in Turkish as Konya, where he built a Turkish state on the plateau of Asia Minor. He later captured the city of Nicaea, Isnik today in Turkey, and Konya is still regarded as the most sacred city in Turkey. This particular state saw Constantinople as its major objective. They were going to, they actually called themselves the Sultans of Rum, which is a Turkish adaptation of the Arabic word Rum, which means Rome. They saw themselves, in effect, as the successors, the Muslim Turkish successors of Rome. This group, which by the 1070s had consolidated power on the Turkish plateau, began on the Anatolian plateau, began to interfere with pilgrimage routes going through Asia Minor. So by the 1070s, 1080s, the whole of that land pilgrimage route, which had been set up by Basil II, was very much jeopardized.